We're going to talk about the thing that actually relates to some of what Matt said, talking about everything from giving to service to running the race. I want you to go to John 14, 27. We're going to talk about the peace of God. Very critical. Peace of God. Very critical. Sometimes I find it interesting when you work on things and the weekend comes up and you see the events that start panning out, and I mean you realize this is a message that would go in good times and bad times, but Jesus was speaking to the disciples at this point. Those guys had so much to learn, the disciples. I mean, they were in for it, guys. The disciples were going to have to really deal on so many ways. And he was going to leave them, and then through the Holy Spirit, he would still be with them. And he knew the transition was going to be rough stuff, guys. But 14:27 is something interesting. And actually, let's go to 25, and let's kind of grab, there's more, a little more thought there. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So Jesus is about to leave, and he gives him a really crucial thing, because shalom is in every statement a Jew says. When they greet, they say Shabbat Shalom. When we go by, if you go to the end of a congregation, we say Shabbat Shalom, peace, peace. Actually, a lot of people do shalom. In fact, Muslims do shalom. But peace is a powerful thing. It would be required to function. But we're going to clarify, and it's, I need peace. You need peace. There's no doubt. But if you can, I'm going to tell you something today, and I speak it to myself. I preach it to you. I preach it to me. I preach it to every person in Christ. Get over the concept that peace means your situations are all worked out. That's not what it means. That's called the lack of conflict. Now, I'm not telling you if you ascribe to what Jesus is speaking in the Scripture, and the Scripture speaks about peace, that you will have more trouble. Trouble's coming. Times of trial are coming. Challenges to your faith are coming. Hardships will come. But peace is not the absence of conflict. It's a quality that God gives to his people. By it, they stand by the Red Sea in confidence. By it, they sing in jail cells when they've been arrested and maybe facing death. By peace, men have done renowned things. It's if your peace really leaves you that you're dead. It is not if your conflict leaves you. Because if your conflicts leave you, and you, that's how you kind of gauge how you will feel good when the situation is right. That is not enough. And that's not what Jesus said. In fact, the guys he's speaking this to, the 11 disciples, the guys he is speaking to, excuse me, the 12 disciples, the guys he is speaking to, are going to need it, because they themselves, almost every one of them is going to be martyred. Every one of them is going to face persecution, illegality. They're going to be arrested, and they're going to be, some are going to be tried, and John is going to be exiled. So it was fitting to these guys, but all of us, to say, peace I give, not as the world gives do I give. Shalom. Shalom is a unique word, because it's a quality that doesn't need anything to be. The reason I said that wasn't to pick on any of you or myself, but too many times we are asking God for a lack of conflict to feel good. And it defies everything in the Scripture we read. Think about this, guys. Too many times we're asking God, please work out the situation, and if you do, I'll feel better, and if you do, I'll serve you, and if you do, I'll actually be happy for once. Not only does that defy what we read in the Scripture, that's never been the concept of peace. The reason I'm hitting it hard is because it hits my life as well. In my younger years, in my older years, I realized many times I was asking God to remove conflict so I could feel better. I wasn't asking him to give me shalom, because shalom has nothing to do with my circumstances. I was asking God for conflict resolution. And I was dependent upon my circumstances to feel a particular way, and therefore I was upset a lot, because when you're dependent upon your circumstances to feel a certain way, you are going to feel bummed probably as much as you're going to feel happy. You are going to be depressed probably as much as you laugh. Because this just isn't the world we live in. I've seen peace in people, and I've known people that have a better grasp on peace than I did. So that inspired me early on in my walk.
But peace is so critical, because many times we also think of it as a luxury, but I think peace is something that Jesus said, I leave with you. Now, I want you to think about this. He's talking about peace, I leave with you, because he's going to leave.
Does peace, is it connected to the presence of the Lord? I believe it is. I believe the peace in our lives is very much connected to the presence of God being made manifest in our lives. And let me tell you something that I believe is right on for all of us. If there are people that do not like the presence of God in your life, do not let them water it down, and then you pay the price of kind of functioning outside the manifest presence of God to get along, because you're a fool if you do. Because that is the only thing that brings peace. So this isn't just speaking of a magical quality, but again, Jesus had peace. When they were with them, they were at peace. When the disciples were with Jesus, they felt peace, shalom. And he's leaving, but he says, hey, I'll leave my peace with you. It'll be just like I'm there. And my peace will reign and rule in your hearts. Now, I say that hard because peace could be one of the most elusive qualities we ever see. And peace is the very thing that Satan tries to get. Now, again, clarify another confusion. Many times people say the devil's trying to take my peace. And what they're actually saying is my situations aren't working well. That's not the devil trying to take your peace. That's a situation not working well. And that shows that you're connected very much to your circumstances. Now, I would ask a question, if I were in your shoes and you were in my shoes, I would say, is he talking a life of misery, 24/7? What's he getting at? I mean, okay, I get it, the situations, but aren't situations reality? Of course they are. Someone dies, someone gets sick, someone gets ill, someone comes against you. These are all real situations. Being at peace is not, and a lot of times a mental image we get is a person that's delusioned. Do you ever see a movie where everything's burning down and a person is delusioned and they're not responding to the situation appropriately? Many times when we talk about the peace of God, I've talked to people that were non-believers, that's how they perceived it. Like you're going, it's all fine. Peace is like heads up, engaged, dealing with life, right on, rubber on the road, but it's peaceful. It can guide you through the toughest of times, because, in fact, you are going to need peace, especially in tough times, because that is what's going to really, tough times will freeze you. Here's another thing, too, and I know the Lord has shown me this very clearly, and I've been in the same boat, to where tough stuff freezes you, and you actually buy into, this is happening, therefore I am this way, and unless this doesn't happen, I cannot behave any differently. That's absolute baloney. This whole Bible could have never been written if any of the people writing would have ascribed to such things. New Testament wouldn't exist because it's written by Paul in jail. It's written by apostles fleeing for their life and threatened of martyrdom. So we know that peace is not only real. The Bible you hold in front of you is a compilation of 66 books, 35 authors that all knew the shalom peace of God. It doesn't mean they weren't hurt. It doesn't mean they didn't despair sometimes. And that's another thing I want to get into. Now, another clarification. Peace doesn't mean settling. I saw this commercial. It cracked me up, called The Settlers. Did you guys see this? It's about cable or DirecTV. And the kid runs out, and there's like a farm. And next to the farm, there's a modern house. And he's like, Dad, they got Comcast cable. He said, Son, you know we're settlers. That means we settle for things, you know. And I kind of looked at it, and I thought, wow. Is that a mental image, you know? Like making our own clothes, Dad? Yes, we settle, you know. I'm sorry I'm adding a little levity, but it was kind of funny. Peace, that I'm in peace, doesn't mean I'm settling. Because remember also in the scripture, battles were fought victoriously for the Lord by people that walked in peace. Resistance to the false gods and to Asherim were torn down and destroyed by men who walked in peace. So I'm trying to get this balance because, again, peace does not mean passivity. Not at all. You could be at peace and do a move and make a positive move that is biblical and drive people nuts, and you can be at peace. But you're still going forward. You're still having emotion. See, the thing that God brought me to my life when I was stressed, and I've been stressed a lot in my life, I've known stress, believe me, is he really began to deal with me and kind of said, Mike, you kind of come in and out. You face some horrible things and have really had peace, and you face some trivial things and really lost it. But there's a consistency, Mike. And one time I was going to him, I was so troubled. Times were so hard. And I was crying out to the Lord, and he kept giving me a word. He said, you have to rise above this. Now, at first I'm going, you're going to rise above it. Okay, God, take the situation. And he just kept coming to me and speaking to my heart and saying, no, you got to rise above this, Mike. You're stuck in your situation. Your head's stuck in your situation. Your head is stuck in the physicality. It's stuck in the odds, the average, the confluence lines. Get out of that. I need you at peace, Mike, no matter what is going on. And you know you can have it. And I said, yes, Lord, I do know I can have it. And I talked about a little bit about the peace of God Wednesday night and how it surpasses understanding. This is what peace is about. Peace isn't suffering in silence because you don't believe God that he's taking care of things. Peace doesn't mean just being quiet. That's not it. Peace means really going through your life and you know God has got it in control. Now, one of the bigger contrasts in my life of peace is my wife. She doesn't think like me. She wasn't raised in Chicago. She saw amazingly tough times. The good thing is there was faith exhibited in her life from a little girl, and there were things that were hard, and she wasn't taught to freak out or fear or to worry. She wasn't taught to whine. She doesn't whine about her situations. You will never catch her feeling sorry, no matter what the circumstances. She will not sit there and bemoan how rough things are, even when they're horrible. And I saw peace in my wife. In fact, she was one of the greatest lessons to me about peace, because she would not get worked up. She refused to, because she walked in something that Jesus had given her since she knew him. And she wasn't going to surrender it for me, for any kind of spaz people. She was going to walk in peace. I looked down and I looked in Romans 14:17, because Jesus promises peace to you. And the absence of peace is pretty horrible, isn't it? The absence of peace is fear. The absence of peace is anger. The absence of peace is war. And I'm talking in your spirit. The absence of peace will drive a man or a woman nutty. Because when you're not at peace, there's something wrong between you and God. That's the problem. God gives Mike peace. If Mike frets and I walk around fretting and I don't walk in the peace that Jesus said, he left me. You got to understand something. The stewardship I have before God, there's several things I can never say to God when I face him. And the believer's judgment seat. I couldn't find peace. It was too hard. That's baloney. You didn't give me peace. That's baloney. I wasn't capable. That's baloney. That's not in the scripture at all. And he knows what he put in our spirit. So there's not a bit of that. I don't know about you guys. I live for the coming judgment, because the life I have and live now, I will answer for every bit of it. It's called stewardship. It's like accounting. It's not digital, it's not numbers, but God cares about the life I'm living. In fact, if he didn't, he wouldn't have a believer's judgment seat at all. There'd be no need. And yet he does. We know this is a fact. Every man and woman and child who knows him will stand before him, and he will judge the life they lived in Christ. And up there, ridiculous excuses don't work. Up there, pettyism doesn't work. Up there, false reasons don't work. Who could stand before the face of ultimate truth and say a lie? And who could stand before the face of the one who's equipped us to have shalom peace? And I say this because too many times we can regard tense and worry, myself included, like a weakness. And it's not a weakness. Fear is not a weakness. It's a sickness. It's a sin. It's not a weakness. Opposite of peace is a decision, and we have to understand this. I never forget the time I heard a sermon about somebody really putting to death the theory that all circumstances cause a specific reaction to you, and you're really a slave to circumstances as they come. What can you do? But the cool head will get a lot done, and that's the bottom line. But Paul in Romans says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, and look what he says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you actually look up these words, and you look up peace, righteousness, peace, and joy, I mean, the kingdom of heaven is that we walk around in the shalom peace of God, functioning and making the moves we need to make, and we are secured and we are protected in the peace of God. Now, does that mean people will not come at you and remember something. A person that spazzes, and I've done this, wants you to spazz with them. And when you have peace, people that walk in the opposite, and peace is relational. As I walk with God, part of the fruit is shalom, peace. How many of you know when you got born again? I didn't know what conviction was when I got born again. And I didn't know what lack of peace was until I got it as a believer and then sometimes would do something and the peace was just, it was not only absent, it was glaringly something else was going on. And I thought, man, I'm not at peace. You know, it's interesting too, because when we talk about peace, it does speak of harmony with the Father, not with each other. I believe when you get along with the Father, you better get along with everyone else. See, a lot of people don't, if you say this, they don't care for it because they believe that their lack of true harmony with others is about them or they're just not like that. But the lack of really the harmony with others speaks greatly of the lack of harmony with the Father. This is why in John it says, don't say you love God whom you haven't seen when you hate your brother whom you have seen. And John lays out this whole issue of vertical horizontal and how it really works. But the kingdom of God is about joy in the Holy Spirit and peace. This to me speaks of the essence of my walk. Think about this, joy and peace. This is what it's about. But again, I just say to you, if you can get it out of your mind that God has a divine quality called shalom, then you can better get it. You can better understand how he wants you to walk. None of this means you don't resolve conflicts. And none of this means that when trouble happens, I mean, when people die, we mourn. Am I correct? When we are troubled sometimes, it's a call to prayer. We go to prayer and we lift things up. I had a divine experience that was amazing. I had a friend that was extremely troubled and I was praying for him, not from this church, and I was interceding because lots going on in their life. And I called him because I was in prayer and I had this mind's eye vision and God was saying, I'm not sweating with this, Mike. And I felt the peace flood my soul. Such an absence of conflict. His situation was all conflicted. And I called him. I said, you know what? There's a peace now, today, now, not tomorrow. It's not about working this out. There's a peace God wants you to have before he rids you of this thing. In fact, you need to know the peace during it. You'll never know what peace is outside of it. Get a hold of this. The fact that Christians, we need times also where our spirit, we can say, you know, I don't have peace about that. And that sounds like an odd statement. And I know Christians did that and they overdid it sometimes, but that doesn't take away the need. There's sometimes you can get into areas because not all things are unlawful, not all things are immoral, but sometimes things are just a decision. And sometimes this doesn't work for me. It's not evil. It's not wrong. But it's not what I should be doing. And I really believe God uses peace and sometimes the absence of peace to speak to our heart as to what we're about to do. Peace is crucial for that. So it's not just necessarily you're sitting around and it's all good and you don't care. But peace is also that agency. Like sometimes God says, and he pulls it a bit. And you go, wow, I like peace about that. I'm not doing that. I do not have peace. I am not making that, doing that thing, making that investment, whatever, connection, getting that job, whatever. I can't tell you the times where I've had an uneasiness about situations and nothing was morally wrong, but the peace of God was not in it. And it looked great. I can't tell you the times I took a pass and later on that thing was not all it cracked up to be. And I went, wow. But I want to say this. Let's look at the dual functions. There's shalom, peace that keeps you through all times. There's also peace that is connected. You want to walk in harmony with the Father. If I said, what is the will of the Father for your life? There's got to be an answer there. Don't tell me to exist. That's not going to work. What's God got for your life? Don't give me some equivalent that has nothing to do with Jesus. Because there is the other part of peace. What does God want you to do? And I will tell you this. If you do have a lack of peace and you learn to walk through it, trust me, don't worry about the peace thing. It'll go away. Have you ever seen somebody in a spiritual state of deception and they are totally cool with what they're doing? They are good. You can tell. They're not even straining. Well, what you don't understand is people and Christians will backslide and they will get into situations where their conscience is so seared, they can use religious language, a little even religious behavior, speak Christian terms. And your heart will be like breaking. And you won't understand because they're just wiping their mouth and they're good with it, man. Well, relationally, people get out of harmony with God so bad, and Christians walk away from the direction of God so bad that they got over that peace thing. They don't even feel their conscience no more. That's not even bothering them no more. Because peace is a part of walking with Jesus. It's connected to his presence, but I want to say this. I believe it's part of walking with Jesus. It's active. Sometimes certain religions teach it like a state of being, but the thing with God and the Lord Jesus Christ that is so different is our state of being is so connected to walking step by step with Jesus. It's about walking forward with what he wants. Peace is really critical because if you look at the digestive tract problems in American people, if you look at the, in fact, I was talking to a neurologist once, he said, the amount of stress-related body problems is massive. He said, we see more of it than anything. And I was thinking when he said it, I didn't get into it with him, I wonder if Christians fare out better. Do they show the same wear and tear that people that have no God, no peace, no answer feel? Are their bodies just tore up? I actually believe there's a drought of peace. I do. I believe we don't even teach it. Most of the time when it's taught, think about something. We often tell God's an overcomer and we call him a victor. He is. Jesus is a victor. But if I'm telling you that, I've got to also be teaching you that God is a victor. Jesus is a victor of what goes on inside of you, not just around you. And if I don't teach you that part of him being a victor is that he can control what goes on inside of you, I'm not giving you the whole package. Many times, God is the genie. He is the one that makes it all good. If you got a troubled situation, he's just going to end it right away. And then I read my Bible, and I get such a different view in Acts. Oh, my Lord. I read the epistles of Paul, who was in jail writing some of them, and I go, something, Lord, doesn't add up. Have we made a living out of saying, you know, have peace, but really mean resolve your situation and you can feel better? And yeah, it sells. Of course it does. Are you going to come hear what I'm saying now? Or a guy that says, it is not God that you're stressed. It is not God that things come against you in your life. It is not God that you feel that you have to deal with hardship. I mean, you got a choice. And I call that a maturity choice because many times, depending on your maturity, you will run to the message that is far less abrasive. Especially if you don't like dealing with reality. That's just a fact. But peace is going to keep you. Now, I talked about peace never being the adversity of trouble, the absence of adversity or problems. And I nicknamed it the yo-yo effect. When people really rely on what they feel all the time and their situation, whether it's working, they're stuck in their emotions, very much so. And I want to say this. Peace is different than you simply having a positive outlook in the morning. Peace is that study force that guides you. It doesn't mean you're always laughing, but it's study. And you're not freaking out. And you trust God. And the waves come against you. You're trusting God. I call that the yo-yo effect. Can you imagine? In fact, I was counseling a person one time, well, 1,000 times. And I've had people, and they would kind of come with problems. And I would try to share this with them. And they didn't like the answer because what they wanted me to tell them, that thing bothering you, that'll be gone in 10 days. That trouble, don't worry, that's all going to work. They're all going to be happy. That other thing, yeah, God's crunching it right now and you won't have to deal with any adversity. And I'm sharing what I'm sharing and they're thinking, yeah, but doesn't the Bible say, and what happens a lot of times, the reason peace is so important because you're going to be a yo-yo. You'll just be up and down, unsteady. I am what I feel. I am what I run into. I feel good if it's good. I feel bad if it's bad. That's how I respond. In fact, I lose it if situations are adverse. I totally lose it. Yo-yo, up and down, up and down, up and down. And the sad thing about being a yo-yo is it's painful because you're constantly flipping around. And when you don't know peace the right way, you will have a hard time doing the work of the Lord because if stuff gets extremely adverse, you're going to stop. It'll just dead stop you. If stuff gets ugly, it'll dead stop you. If life-threatening situations come, you will not work. If things threaten what makes you comfortable, you will stop. The devil actually knows this. Now, what he tried with the early apostles is he tried, well, he killed some. He martyred some. He beat some. Paul was beat how many times? Was it 36 times with rods? Satan, when he comes to our lives, guys, he's counting on throwing adversity at you. He's counting on you freezing and stopping. He's counting on that. In fact, he knows if you're a yo-yo, he knows he can just throw a little something. And the way you're always reacting with your situation, he knows you're dead stopping. That giving's good, till you, like Matt talked about, till you don't have the give, then you're dead stopping. You're feeling good, but then somebody comes against you, you're dead stopping. Your circumstances are a bit painful, you're dead stopping. Many times we're actually waiting. We're saying, God, we don't say it like this, but we're actually waiting. Lord, I just need the right circumstances to be faithful. I just need the right circumstances to be consistent. I just need the right circumstances to be a giver. And the problem with any of that, that's just not real life. We're not dealing in the way God. I think the promise of peace is big. In fact, I told the Lord daily now, I want to walk in your peace daily, and I want to walk in your joy. Joy is also a huge thing. But again, joy is not happiness. There's a difference. It's a lot deeper. You know, people walk around. The problem that bothers me, and I've seen it. And like I said, even when I was younger and even through the years, God had to deal with it because many times I walked around not full of joy, morose and grim and bitter and angry. What's that all about? Am I going to tell Jesus, you know, my family always did this? That ain't going to work. Jesus is going to say, I made you a new creation, Mike. Don't give me that my family always did this. Don't give me genetics. I don't want to hear that. And don't give me excuse. I don't want to hear about this or your friend or your situation or your money. None of that stuff is applicable, Mike. Joy, peace, I want to give you, not as the world gives, because the world gives peace with circumstances. In fact, part of what Jesus is getting at is the world gives peace with happy circumstances. God gives peace no matter what. I'll be honest with you. I had to start being careful because I got so circumstantially addicted that it just swings you around a lot. And even in good times, you can't even appreciate the good times. I actually believe a person that knows peace versus circumstantial peace is even better when the good times hit because they understand that calming what peace really is.
I've read the Acts of the Apostles and the Epistles, and I've come in an amazing spot, guys, to where I want what God has and I want to experience, not for just personal gain. It's not that I just want to feel good, you know, like a drug, but I want the ability to navigate through the toughest waters. I want the ability to navigate through the tough times, the good and the bad. I want the ability to definitely stand in the red before the Red Sea and say, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. But only a man of peace could do such a thing. Only a man of peace could do such a thing. I want to be that man. We want to be that man. Do you know, if the church gets a hold of shalom peace, it's going to not be yo-yo-ish. Christians, when we get a hold of this, we stop being a yo-yo. We stop being up and down. Do not be addicted to your emotions for the morning. Don't be addicted to your emotions for the moment. It's a ridiculous, I'm going to say this hard, not to come against myself or you, but it's a ridiculous state of living. And people that do that have a really hard time with life, period. They're motivated, they're not motivated. They're moving, they're not moving. They're happy, they're sad. They're flying, they're frying. It's just a mess. We don't want that. Now, God may give you peace in a situation. And can I explain something? What if you have a situation you need to get out of? Well, you're going, well, the only way I could deal with this is anger. No, that isn't the way you're going to deal right with it. Do you know I've seen people grab peace and deal hardcore with situations that were very adverse. And they told me something that always stuck with me. God gave me the peace, and when he did, then I could see clearer what I needed to do. Because up to this point, I was peeved. Up to this point, I was depressed. Up to this point, I was angry. But when he gave me the peace, I saw clear. And they would even take a big step and say, but when I saw clear was when I had peace. I was mad. I had a whole lot of reactions to this and that and this and that. I've seen people that have perfect peace make absolute demands. Good demands, biblical demands, demands that cost them. In fact, the more they stepped up, the more peace they had. And it didn't always bring like hallelujah choruses in the morning. Sometimes it was butt ugly. But the peace of God in its context is obviously for lives that are living for Jesus. Many times, let's be honest, people, again, they talk circumstantial victory, they talk peace so they can just feel good. And I really believe peace is a quality of Jesus, and I'm going to walk with Jesus. And in fact, sometimes I think that I've had a lack of peace because Jesus was going another way, and he said, follow me this way. And I don't know about that. Do this. I don't think I can. I speak about limitations. I want to read you a story out of Exodus 14:10. And this is the story of Pharaoh and the chariots and all the wonderful things that Moses did. For any of you thinking that Moses saw miracles, therefore when he stood before the Red Sea, there was possibly no doubt you would be dead wrong. The children of Israel saw miracles and they cried out
about their circumstances almost every time. What happened? They saw the firstborn slain. They plundered the Egyptians of their gold. And still, what happened? Guys, can you explain this to me? What happened? Why did they complain every time? They were really hung up on their circumstances. And every time, oh, that you took us out in the wilderness to die. They send this to Moses. I mean, if he'd had a tape recorder, as they started complaining, he could have just pushed play and played it back. Because that's all they did. They didn't learn anything. God wanted them to have, I really believe God wanted them to stand even as Moses stood as one man and agree. And they would not. Many times they were crying, they were grumbling, they didn't have peace, they were situational. And Moses was a pretty cool cookie, guys. 14:10 said, as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened, so the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now this is good, but this is really weird. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. The thing that's interesting, they cried out to God a very fruitless prayer. And I want to explain something here. They cried out and then began to complain. Do you know some people do that? I can come to Christians and they can complain and say, hey, did you pray about it? And they did this prayer. Meaning when they went in prayer and came out of prayer, they were no more at peace or no better with God than when they entered into it. Then they start complaining to where prayer becomes an ineffective thing that you step on to the way of accusing God and his people. Think about something. It says they cried out to the Lord. Then they turned to Moses and very wrongly turned to Moses and say, you've led us to die. And here's the weird thing. I kind of thought the firstborn being slain, the hail mixed with fire, their residence being preserved in Egypt's not. I kind of thought that would have a little bit of staying power. It had nothing. But here's the thing. If you're stuck in the situation, emotions, and of peace, even when God does miracles, you really come out of a situation with a miracle, with fuel for a future event. In fact, really what this kind of means, and I've been stuck like this, it's like, God, you really wanted to build up your resume in my eyes. So when the challenges came, I would be at peace. And you've did miracles for me, God. God's did amazing miracles in my life. I can't even tell you how many. I really would be out of time to count. And I really hit a point where it's like, it's weird, Father. I've seen your hand, but it can be 20 minutes later. And something new comes, and it's as if you never did the previous thing, and I'm totally stressed. And God led me a while back into Exodus and said, take a look at something. These guys seen the heavens rend. They saw a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke and Mount Sinai, and God gives the law. And at this point, not yet, but they're freaking out. They're freaking out. So God wants to give you peace through the situations that he delivers you, when he does free you up, when he does do a miracle. But again, we get addicted to circumstantial emotions so much that we learn very little when we encounter God in our circumstances. And we need to have a staying power. When you encounter the miracle of God, it should have a staying power in you. To where you come to the next one, it's like, yeah, he's got this. Moses, on the other hand, was different, guys. You know, it's interesting. Many times people will tell you, if you try to pull them out of fear, leave me alone. I was safe in Egypt. Don't bother this, man. Don't get into this. You don't want some of this. I've had people say, you know, it's horrible, but I just can't. You know, I was watching a movie that kind of drove me nuts, and there was kind of these militants with guns, and they were going to kill his family, and me and Pecky were watching it, and you know, the father, there's a building that you can jump over to, and the father's saying, we got to jump, and the wife's like, I can't jump. And, you know, guys are with machine guns. I'm thinking, yeah, you better jump. But this one little girl almost killed the father and her because he's trying to throw her, and she grips at the last minute, and they almost both fall off the building. But it's interesting. I did think when I was watching that, just in real life, where there was a desperate need to let go of a garbage way of thinking, of a garbage way of feeling, of a garbage way of existing. And many times people would say, but I know this, I'm comfortable with this, leave us in Egypt, please. Look at all the trouble. Look at all the pain. Look at all the stuff that's going on. Leave me. Did I not tell you it'd be better if I just stayed the way I am? That'll never work for me when I tell myself that, or if someone else tells me that. Walking in God's peace is better than everything that can happen to you, and we need it. But it's a divine quality. Remember, peace isn't the little red fire engine that you keep telling, like, you can, I think I can. It's not a pep talk. According to the scripture, peace, shalom, is something God gives. It's a divine blessing. Peace is something that comes from heaven, not from the earth. If you live in your circumstances, peace is very earthly because you only judge what you see and how you feel with what you see. It's a very limited way of existing. It's a very limited way of existing, very limited way. But when you rise above it and the peace of God takes you over, you literally are on another plane. You are truly have entered a new way of living. And that's a different. Do you know the lack of peace, how much mental illness, one of the qualities is paranoia, total lack of peace, no nothing. Do you understand that the opposite of peace, it's just funny. But God, see as God sees. I really believe Moses says, in fact, I want to find that line, 13 and 14, Moses said to the people, and I love this, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Now, I love this because Moses defies the circumstances because he has the shalom peace. He does. He has a peace of God. Do not fear, guys. Wouldn't somebody go, are you an idiot? Do you see the chariots? What do you mean, don't fear? Have you ever gotten that when you've told people to quit getting wrapped up in their emotions? You're telling them the peace to you, shalom. God's got this, and they're telling you about the chariots. As a pastor, I've clashed on this so many times I can't even count. I've had people aggravated. They don't want to hear that. They're insulted that you're saying, peace, stand back, see the salvation of the Lord. And they're turning back and saying, are you out of your mind? Did you see what's going on here? What they're really saying is, I'm responding according to what I see alone. And I'm going to react according to what I see alone and how it makes me feel. The peace of God is not even in objective reasoning as I should as a human think. And I've actually seen people aggravated. They were aggravated. Sometimes people can get so wound up in fear, paranoia, depression, that even as they don't realize it, but even as you're trying to speak to them, they're gripping their depression, they're gripping their fear. They're not letting it go, man. See, when somebody tells me, you don't understand, I hate this, my response is very simple. You don't understand. I'm a human being like you, and I understand this stuff is addictive. It's a blanket. It's a security. We hold it. We cling to it. If fear is the best I know, the thought of letting fear go is a fearful thought. Just kind of be, I'm not trying to be funny. But Moses defies everything, circumstance. When he says, do not fear, he's basically, there's a judgment call there. Don't worry about what you see. I can stand illogically with the chariots in the back, but for them, all the miracles of God meant zip. Think about it. To them, the miracles of God and the deliverance from Egypt meant nothing. The Israelites had a selective memory that could go no further than whatever. It didn't matter what God, it didn't matter that God actually caused the weather or the lack of or hail and fire, the firstborn, flies, gnats, frogs, none of that mattered. These people were sitting at the Red Sea void of the very life that God had displayed before them, void of the peace he wished to give them. A lot of people say, you know, if I was there, it wouldn't have worked out that way. And most people, I say, no, you're dead wrong because we do it all the time. We live a life where God is faithful day after day, month after month, year after year, and breaks through. And then our allegiance gets twisted because of some emotion we feel. We're just like the Israelites. The miracles of God are all over my life. And I get to a new event and I'm like, oh God, would that I would have died in Egypt, Father. Why did you bring me here to die? That's all that's going to happen. I don't know if God scratches his head because he's not really human. But if he was, he would. And go, really? Are you serious? But he's not a man that he thinks like a man. And I love what he says. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. I love it. But I do like the silent part, and I don't think Moses was being facetious. He wasn't saying he will win this if you shut up. But there is an inference here when he says if you keep silent. Because their cries of the situation and the possibility is not what Moses is interested in, and it's not what God's interested in. I remember ranting, and it drive my wife nuts. She's like, you need to stop. I don't want to hear this no more. Quit doing this. She's so right on the money. Absolutely. That's what a godly wife is for. Speaking the word of the Lord, speaking the scripture. Hey, stop this. God is good, Mike. I'm not getting into that. She said, and I remember we were probably married a few years. She's like, do you want me to rant with you? Is that what you want? So we'll both sit here freaking out. And she said, and then please tell me, what will we do then? And it really kind of hit me. I thought, well, then I guess it would go totally over the edge. I mean, Anna could have had a sense of humor early on and said, just for joke, just like, oh my gosh, Mike. No, just kidding. I would have did it. Just to watch my face turn colors, my eye color alter, and my heart race and adrenal glands open up. But peace have to the resolve about God's ability. I'm going to say this. We need shalom peace today in ourselves. God wants to give it. If you say, Father, I want that. I do write on circumstances a lot. And I think I've explained this pretty good today, because I really tried to put a disclaimer so you wouldn't misunderstand any of it. If you agree to say, I'm not going to be hung on my circumstances, when I used to hear this message, do you know what I actually heard? Seriously. If you agree to this, God's going to torture you. If you agree to this, there's just horrible times coming. Tell God you can't bear it, because, you know, the big guy will give a rake on you. Just don't describe to this peace is above my circumstances, because God knows all hell will break loose if you do that. No, actually, the reality is you're living in real time. Your life is your life one way or the other. It doesn't matter. In fact, trials will come, trials will go, victory will be made. But we want to rise above it. We're in an era to where, you know, I look at, there's a pastor that went to jail up in Oregon. He really did go to jail. It was over preaching. And they're going to try to spin this every which way, but you really don't realize we're losing a lot right now. In fact, while many times we're caught up in our own navel watching of our own life, there's massive events going on around us. I'm more concerned about my religious liberty, I'll be honest with you, more than any other liberty. You can talk everything you want to talk. The freedom of preaching the gospel is the most needed freedom we have. You can take almost everything else, but if we can't preach the gospel, we're in the greatest trouble of all. But that comes for me living a life for Christ and moving as Christ asked me to move. You know, I wonder, I always kind of say, Lord, what are we ready for in American church? Not a lot, because we're all situationally hung up and we're watching our own navel. And if you ever wonder what that means, navel watching is an idiom. It's a term for meaning you're just so stuck looking at yourself. Navel watching is too much introspection on you and not about what goes on around you. The reason I'm bringing this up in closing, the Jews would greet each other and say, Shabbat Shalom. Shalom. Peace to you. That's really what it means. It's a simple, every time I'm in a messianic service, I greet people, and, you know, I put my yarmulke on and go out and say Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. It's what we do. It's what we did every Friday night on Onik Shabbat. And if we were in Ariv Shabbat, excuse me, because Ariv, my Hebrew's mixed up. Ariv is Friday, the eve of Sabbath, and then Onik is the day. But can you speak peace to others? Because you may need to. Listen, people have spoken a lot of peace into my life. As we close, sometimes a person speaking peace would come to me in a real difficult time and say, God wants you to have peace. I'm a guy, when I've been called, when they said, hey, Lord told me to encourage you, it's going to be all right. I'm a guy that years ago would go, really, did you figure it out? No. I've had friends say, no, Mike, God told me it's going to be all right to have peace. You know, we're so stuck into, oh, did you get an answer to the conflict? No, but God wants to give you peace now. And it's funny, because you can listen to one of these phony prosperity preachers talk a lot about peace and project it in a totally different way. I think of Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I lent Fox's Book of Martyrs to one person, and I said, how'd you like it? He said, personally, it frightened me. I don't ever want to see it again. But if you look at some of these guys in there, how are they going to even their martyrdom rejoicing? That's peace. How are they going through what they do in just total peace? How did Paul write Philippians from a jail cell that was urine, stink of urine probably, and human waste? And believe me, the atmosphere was not good there. How did he do that? How did John, who legend says was boiled in oil and survived, then exiled to Patmos? How did John have the greatest revelation in the history of the world? He was at peace. Do you understand that this thing is such a proof text that if they can do it, Mike Sapella can do it, and if they can conquer kingdoms and take revival to the nations, no matter what, so can I. But I think back to the funny commercial of the settlers, and you know, I could just see, you know, we could make a Christian spoof, although you filmmakers don't get any ideas, but it just kind of, you know what I mean, where somebody runs and goes, hey, Dad, they're rejoicing and dancing in the Lord, and they look happy. Well, son, we're settlers. We're paranoid and fearful, and we settle for that. And, but, Dad, they say God has more. Well, son, but remember, we're settlers. We settle for half of what we can have and a quarter of what we should have, and we're settlers. And I think about that. It's like, why do I want to settle for anything less than what God has? Is that crazy? I am not a settler. I will not be on the side of the commercial, you know, spinning out butter in my own clothes and riding horses when I can get a John Deere. It's just not going to happen. I don't want to settle. I want to get what God has. That's what I need. Because here's the other last point I will say. Peace isn't a good thing, and it would be nice if you could have it. Peace is completely needed, and you can't survive without it. I want you to use that perspective. Peace is not a good thing, and it'd be nice to have it. Peace is a thing you have to function for Christ in the way that He is asking you. Otherwise, you will not. Let's go. Let's all stand and let's close in a word of prayer today. Praise God for His peace and that He's giving it to us, guys. Praise God that He loves you. He wants to lavish upon you peace, shalom, peace. But we're going to pray a quick prayer. We're going to say, God, get rid of the false thing where I think I'm bound to everything that happens to me. Let's get rid of that. Let's flush that out. I know the Lord's spoken to me about events and said, you get some peace in the middle of this and I'll take care of it. But I'm not doing it right now because you keep reacting to it. So the more you do that, Mike, as a good father, would I alleviate it when fear would rule and reign the day? Maybe God's brought you to a circumstance. I know I've had difficult ones to where you're really up against it and you're going, it's driving me nuts. I believe God wants to work a circumstance out. Sometimes He's doing it, but sometimes He's having you endure a little bit. But He wants to give you peace, guys, so you can think clearly, so you can make crystal clear decisions. Father, we want peace. Like Jesus said, we want peace. We want peace. I need shalom peace. We need shalom peace. We need it even when we're conquering armies, when foes are being vanquished, when enemies are even being moved out of the way. We need shalom peace. Lord, I think of that one doctor that said that that it's almost like an epidemic of stress-related sickness, that we're seeing a level of it. And that what that means is fear, tension are reigning the days. That's what they're doing. You know, I thought about even Mike Rittering, and I watched that sermon about, he talked about, you know, I get it. Even dying will be with the Lord. I'm good with that. And I think of the peace that I saw in that sermon. And we realize that there are great men that have gone before us that have defied armies. They have. They've shut the mouth of lions. They've overcame despots and were victorious. And Father, we want to walk in shalom peace. Lord, there's nothing wrong to be in a good circumstance and to enjoy it. That's not, Lord, that's not what we're not trying to do away with it. But what I count on for Mike Sapella to have shalom peace has to be from the heavens, not from the earth. And it has to be that divine gift. I pray as we go today for those, Lord, and I know stress so well. I pray for all of us, Lord, that we would know shalom peace. I pray that there would be a definite action. Sometimes, Lord, I've seen people make amazing, take action with stuff that used to intimidate them and overcome stuff. And then even situations were overcome and eventually good won out. And I've seen people with a peace just moving in a way that's uncanny. It's such a defiance in the society we live, because in this society you keep things to a minimum, resistance to a minimum, friction to a minimum, and you try to kind of jockey about and make sure you don't do anything that your situation will make you unhappy. But I just think we're above it, Father. And I do pray for relief. I do pray for freedom. I do pray for victory in the name of Jesus. But Lord, I do not ever want to live my life that I'm so dependent on my circumstances to feel a particular way, because, Lord, stuff changes all the time. Lord, even in closing, we lift up too, because I know the family for Orlee's, God, I mean, that's tough, and we're praying for peace for them, and that they can pray for her, that we pray for Orlee. I know it's a hard situation. Lord, I don't even pretend to understand how hard it is, because I've never broke my hip. But we pray today. I pray for peace. Lord, I know a person can get fearful, especially when they're elderly. They can be fearful of injuries like this, and she's yours. And I pray for peace today. It would flood her room. It would flood her heart. I pray for peace in the situations we are in. Help us to work through things, Father, as we go from here. Sometimes we got to resolve stuff. There's no doubt about it. But help us to work in our lives, even if it's situations, decisions that are hard, help us to do it with the peace of God. And I absolutely, we all together, we rebuke fear in the name of Jesus, because it says there's punishment in fear. And we're not perfected in your love, it says, when we fear. So I want to be perfected in your love. And we rebuke fear. It's the opposite of peace. It's the opposite of calm. It's the opposite of faith. We rebuke it. And Lord, as we close, not to use such a tacky example, but the commercial cracks me up, where we can be settlers. We can just learn to settle for whatever and however. Sometimes, Lord, you've called us men and women not to settle, to actually stand up and step up. Lord, when we settle for darkness, we won't reap righteousness. We're going to reap more darkness. I do pray, Father, in these areas, we would never be those that kind of whimper off quietly into the night of darkness and just shut up, because it's never worked. The Bible wouldn't be here if the people in that book reacted that way. We wouldn't even have an Old or a New Testament. So I pray blessing for the champions that are in this room. I believe everybody's a champion. Help them to walk in shalom peace, Father. Help us to walk in shalom peace. Help us to see challenges as an opportunity for God to manifest his divine peace upon our lives. I ask your blessing in the mighty name of Jesus. Shabbat shalom, everyone.